If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm Claire Tonti, and welcome to a podcast called Just Make the Thing, for people who want to start a thing and keep on making it. This week, I turned 33, and so I thought I would grab my husband man, James Clement, to talk today about aging, about birthdays, about how it helps us make things and hinders us as well. So for anyone out there who is getting older or is very young and wants to hear us ramble a bit quite late after a birthday dinner that I had, this is it. So off we go. Me, Claire Tonti, and James Clement, otherwise known as Mr. Sunday Movies.
Hello. Welcome to Just Make the Thing, the podcast about whatever it is.
You never listen to my show, do you?
I've actually started listening to it.
But you a little bit.
I've listened to the last couple.
That's true.
Mm.
Well, it's nice to see you, mate.
Yeah, it is nice to see you today, as in every day also.
In the place that we live.
Forever.
Yeah, you're stuck with me.
Sorry, just adjusting this.
You are not a consummate professional.
No.
No, it's terrible. Okay, well, thank you for coming on to this show, Just Make the Thing, a podcast for people who want to start a thing and keep on making it. I am Claire Tonti. You are James Clement,
yes.
Also known as my husband, also known as Mr. Sunday Movies.
Also known as the guy who fills in when Chanel can't make
it. Yeah, okay, so that's legitimately what happened. Because we went out for my birthday
yes.
on the weekend and we're all feeling a little sorry for ourselves.
And it's now Monday night.
Yes, very
and
late.
I'm still pretty grim.
Yeah, because that's what I want to talk about in this episode. Aging.
Mm.
We are getting older.
Yes, aren't we all though?
Every minute, every second, every hour, every day.
There comes a point, I remember my dad telling me this when I was younger than I am now, that you hit like a point and then you don't get better. Like physically, you just bottom out.
You just descend.
Yeah, you're just kind of delaying the inevitable, like all exercise and eating well and everything. It's all just postponing.
It's like what's putting like holes in this, like there's holes in a sinking ship and you're just trying to like patch them.
Exactly.
But eventually we're all
which I don't
to
think
the
is
bottom of the ocean.
That's not to say it's not worth doing.
Mm.
But yeah, it's definitely harder as you get a little
as you get older.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I was interested in this because obviously it's my birthday festival this week.
Happy birthday for
Thank
this week.
Thank you very much. And I'm 33 and I've been thinking a lot about
wouldn't that be weird if that was the first time I said happy birthday? Oh, yeah, happy birthday.
I forgot. Yeah, I know. You've been so great as well. You made my birthday so wonderful. So actually, you were terrible. No, you were really great. So
Thank you.
It was so good. But I have been thinking a lot about getting older and what you learn as you get older and then how it changes and informs the way that you make stuff. Because I wanted to ask you about this. When you were younger, so we've talked about this a little bit before on previous podcasts. When you were a kid, you were a big maker, writer person.
Yes.
Drawer
and yeah, a lot of that.
And then you went through a real phase where you were none of those things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why?
Just a 15-year phase.
Yeah, like a long phase.
Yeah.
What happened to that kid that made things and drew things and wrote things and then why the big gap?
Well, when I was at primary school, that was my thing. I was like, I wanted to be an artist. That was the thing. And I wasn't even sure what that even meant. I didn't even really paint. I drew, but I just assumed if you're an artist, you paint, I guess, even though I never painted. And I don't like painting. It's hard because there's no precision with a paintbrush. It's absolute madness. So that's why I quit. No, I think I got it in my head that, and I don't remember, I might have been something that somebody told me or something that I just kind of absorbed, that you don't make any money from artists. Like artists don't make money and you can't make a proper living. So, and that, and I think coupled with the high school I went to, which was a good school by a lot of standards, was just, there's no money in this kind of particular field. Nobody who came out of my school was doing anything, I think, as far as I know, close to what I'm doing. And I don't mean that in a gloating way. It's just...
It's the reality of imagine, it, right?
Because it's definitely not a gloat, because I'm sure if I spoke to anybody from my previous teachers, they'd be like, what are you even talking about? That's not even a career. But so it just wasn't really an option. It wasn't like... There was art classes and media and things like that, but nobody who did those things went on to do anything like that,
and
as far as I know.
Money from it and have it as an actual career.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are exceptions. There probably is, but as far as I know in my year level, as far as I know, there wasn't. Yeah.
I know you say that. I'm also curious though, because I do think there's something else that happens to people and it's not just about whether or not you can make a career of it, because you go from grade six in Australia, which is, or Victoria here, which is like you're about 11, 12, right? And you're writing, like I was the same, writing constantly, always.
You won writing competitions in that as a kid, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Nothing fancy.
Yeah.
Just like a local council. But, you know, I loved it. I would write and write and write till the cows came home.
And read.
And read a lot. Yeah. Can't draw to save myself. Can't. But, you know, I did that and I sang and did all these things. And then I hit high school and I wonder if it's more than just, oh, you can't make a career of it. Do you think it's more than just that?
I don't really think it's encouraged in a lot of schools. I think in primary school it is, because I think, and because us being primary school teachers formally, you encourage that kind of that activity and creative thinking and all that kind of stuff. And then high school, I don't think it's really valued as much, because if you look at the subjects that get marked well, it's your physics and your chem and your chemistry and your higher levels of maths and things like that, which of course they should be, obviously. Mm-hmm. But anything kind of media or creative is marked down, because I think they're considered like bludge subjects or easy subjects. So I think there's definitely, and also I guess because a lot of the marking for that is there's not definitive answers for a piece of art. You can't be for someone like, that's an A+ painting. Because another person might think that's a shit painting, you know?
Like it's a bit more subjective, I guess. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things about art, though, in terms of technique and, there's so much that goes into it. But, yeah, I completely agree that it's all subjective as to what's good art or not. Like my mum was saying, she went to an art gallery over the weekend and a lot of the really, modern avant-garde stuff was like a white square with two dots in it and then a big long spiel about how it represented the existentialism of the artist or something.
Sure.
And, but as I said to Mum, art is about eliciting emotion, and if the emotion is frustration and that's annoying, I could do that myself.
If the emotion is, I was going to say anger that somebody else thought of doing something that simple.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I totally agree, though. I think that the kind of education system, but I think it's even
I think it's also music, because you did a lot of music as well. A lot of that is maybe not technical side of music, maybe I'm wrong. Like if you're technically, because you played flute and sang.
No, I think it's a bit more quantifiable.
Yeah.
But then again, but it all goes, I mean, I guess it's the same as art. It all goes back to whether you are a classically trained artist, like a classically trained painter,
right,
a classically trained musician or singer or whatever, as opposed to maybe like a pop culture, like a popular music artist. And that is different and is a lot more subjective.
Mm.
You know, it's the difference between an opera singer or a musical theatre professional that studied for, 20 years to hone their craft to be that good, as opposed to someone who goes on Australian Idol and is sung in their shower a lot and gets a cool song and kind of,
they do a Jimmy Barnes cover, which is normally the case, and then they come second.
Well, that's the rule. That's exactly right. Anyway, this is a bit of a long tangent, but I guess what I was trying to get at is that I think it's more than just you stopping to do creative stuff or writing, and me is the same. Not just because of the fact that it may not get us a good job at the end of it, which is actually not necessarily true, but also that there's something that happens to us as we get older where we lose a bit of that fearlessness around creativity.
I think because the stakes change and expectations of people around you change. Because I think I probably wouldn't have started what I'm doing now necessarily at the age I am now. Because when I started doing this, I think I was like 28. And even then I'm like, I'm way too old for this, because everyone's like 17 and whatever. Now they're all dead or on drugs. That is not true.
You always say that to me, that you're always like, I'm so old to be doing this. And
comparatively,
I know,
to a lot of people, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But then also, I
think it's to an advantage, though, to be honest.
Why?
Because I think, I don't know specifically, but I think I'm more comfortable in doing it now than I was 7 years ago when I started. I couldn't even tell you specifically. Yeah, also the small level of fame that I've achieved, I don't think anyone should have that when you're 17.
No, I think it's awful.
See, people go crazy. You know, people get 30,000 Instagram followers and they go mad. And then there's a video of them shouting. I remember there was one Instagram model who's shouting at a security guard because he wouldn't get into some con, and how the security guard is ugly and he'll never be famous and whatever, and just stuff like that. It's just
Yeah, because that scares me, actually. We were talking about this before, that whole idea. Because at the end of the day, regardless of how many people know you or know what you create, that's not what life is.
Mm.
You know, at the end of the day, what matters is your friends and your family, and that you're a good person, you treat other people well, and that you have a good relationship with yourself. And I sometimes wonder if this whole, like, being a celebrity famous thing is a little bit counter to that. Like, it can make you a bit narcissistic or self-involved or believe your own hype. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And it's easy
to do that when everyone's like, this is great, this is the best thing you've ever made or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And I guess it must be when you're at that kind of echelon where, like, you walk down the street and everybody knows who you are and all that bizzo.
Mm.
And then if you put out a bad album or you write a bad thing or nobody likes that or you say the wrong thing or something, and then the way people treat you differently would be hard, because at the end of the day, I guess that's the hard part about being someone that writes and creates stuff. And the wonderful thing about it too, that you get to meet all these people from everywhere and it's awesome, and you know, you have experiences and opportunities that you would never get otherwise. But then you also have the flip side of that, which is people saying negative things or not liking what you do. And so I guess you have to step one step back from it. And as maybe like what back to what you were saying, if you're older, you've got more life experience to know that none of it matters.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually matter.
I think it's important if you do anything in the public eye, and this probably isn't good advice, but I think you should do other things beforehand. And that probably limits the, you know, there may be a window where you can do a certain thing and that's not viable. But I don't think being really famous really young I don't think it's good for a lot. Some people handle it very well, but I think also it's, I don't know, I don't care if somebody's been famous since they were 15. Like, I don't give a shit about anything you have to say, to be honest. Like, when they were like, but just believe in yourself and today's going to be a great day, and that means nothing to me. You know, it's when it's somebody who I know has, you know, done some stuff and, you know, achieved some real world things.
Or been through stuff.
Yeah, and been through some stuff that means something.
I think it can depend, though, on what people
I think there's exceptions.
Through.
Like, I think Bindi Irwin, for example, is, I think, I don't know her at all. Maybe she's terrible. But she seems, you know, fun and nice and...
And like someone who's been through a lot.
Yeah.
So has its perspective. And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Part of aging, really, and what gives you perspective and then what makes you a better artist person... Is you just got up and patted the podcast dog.
Yeah, she was licking the couch.
It was like really annoying you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part of aging is not about just the fact of how many years you've lived, right, which I know sounds stupid. Or weird,
yeah.
But what I think shapes what you create and what helps you, and I guess what you're going back to, is if you've lived through stuff, you've seen hard things, and maybe some people who are quite like Malala – her writing and her advocacy comes from someone who's quite young, but she lived through her, like, you know, a whole, like, lifetime's worth of stuff and persecution in her country from a very young age.
Yeah.
And so I think, part of aging and part of the wonderful part of it is that you do experience great stuff but also hard stuff that informs and teaches the way that you have a perspective on things. So, but yeah, in general, most people have to be old, like have to live along quite a lot of life before they hit those things that make them grow.
Yeah.
I just think at the end of the day that fame can be dangerous for people.
Yes.
Maybe that's what I was trying to say.
But being aging, which is what we're talking about, I think, is
Fine.
Yeah. How do you feel about getting older every day, forever? You'll never be better than you are right now. How do you feel about that?
I kind of disagree with that whole statement, actually.
Yeah.
Because I've really enjoyed getting older, which touch would, I mean, maybe if my whole face sunk into my boots, I would feel differently.
I bet.
But my perspective is that if you are growing and learning and experiencing stuff and then improving yourself,
yeah,
and working on your friendships and relationships and doing your best that you can, I've found I enjoy my life more.
Oh, infinitely. I just meant physically.
Oh.
Yeah, like physically you just get more worn down. Like your knees start to get a little creakier and
yeah.
Yeah.
I think that having a child has changed that for me.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. See, I haven't really noticed it physically otherwise.
Yeah, right.
Other than that. It's the child having the child thing.
Because you don't have a wrinkle on your head.
I know.
Or a grey hair.
Looking. I know. I know. It's astonishing. I mean, I'm only 33.
That's
so,
true.
You know, I've got time.
In 2 years, you'll have as many as me.
I will. But yeah, see, it doesn't bother me as much.
Mm.
I mean, but then again, having a child and the effects of that on my body bothered me a lot more.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I think also you didn't like being a teenager or in your early 20s or that necessarily either. Like, you didn't enjoy that.
Mm.
Yeah, from what you've told me about the people you went to school with, it wasn't a...
Yeah, well, I don't think it probably had much to do with the people that were there. I think it was that we were all teenagers and I was a terrible teenager.
And everybody's just trying to survive. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, that's what I think the more I reflect on it. Mm. And I was not sure of who I was and I was very opinionated and I didn't understand that as a teenager you often have to play by the rules and pretend to be like everybody else and everybody's pretending.
Yes.
And so I was in this sort of phase where I didn't understand that people all had to wear the same shoes and like have their socks pulled up at the
same
height.
Which is so weird because it's a school uniform.
Yeah, I know, but we had a colour of shoe. It was like a black or brown shoe, but all the cool girls wore T-bars. You know those shoes, they're like... They have like a T-bar at the front and they have like two kind of big cutouts.
No.
Anyway, I just had regular school shoes and all the popular girls would have these like T-bar shoes. They would wear their hair in like, it changed over the years, but often in a very high ponytail or with like two bits hanging out. Or
it
was
that
like
plaits. Yeah.
And you know, it changed, but everyone had the same hairstyle mostly. Yeah. And fake tan, and then your skirt was like a certain height, and the way that you wore, even your T-bars, the way the straps were, you kind of wouldn't do them up properly, so they'd be like kind of hanging out a bit. You know, all those kind
of... That's rad.
Isn't it rad?
Yeah.
But all of that kind of stuff, I just didn't realize, and I wasn't the only one. There was lots of teenagers who didn't understand that too, but I'm sure. But I just didn't understand that that mattered. At all.
Because it doesn't.
Yeah, but it does. Exactly. It doesn't matter. But when you're that age, you think that it does.
Yeah.
Well, like if you don't understand that it matters to be, if you wanted to be in those groups of girls and be popular and be invited to all the right parties and all of those things, then you have to play by all of those rules. Mm. And the other thing you can't do in an all-girls school is have a lot of opinions about academic stuff in a classroom and voice them.
Yeah.
And also, I guess, say what you think all the time. I mean, that's probably annoying.
Nobody likes that now.
I was a terribly obnoxious teenager, I'm sure. Not in a, like, I don't even know anymore. I wasn't obnoxious to my teachers or anything because I was a real goody two-shoes in it.
Because you had the same shoes
student.
As them.
Yeah, probably. No, I don't know. I just was so much more interested in what we were learning than I was in wearing like the same shoes as everybody.
I think that's something that you still kind of come up against every now and then.
Yeah.
When you're in a conversation with somebody and they're talking about something banal, like not that specifically, obviously. But yeah, I think you sometimes just crave talking about like world issues and things that are, or even just how people feel, I guess, about themselves or others or yeah.
Yes, I really do. And I think that goes back into being like, I don't know if we're getting a writer, but I guess writers and people who make stuff often have to be analytical or something about, I guess, comedy, for example, stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
Often are people who are sort of watching the rest of life play out and then regurgitating what they think about it. And that's funny because everyone's actually in it and they've stood a little bit back from it and it providing commentary. Does that make sense? I guess that's what writing is, or good songwriting is, often people capturing an emotion or a feeling or an experience that's absurd or stupid or whatever it is. And I mean, comedy and music comes in all different kinds of forms. And I'm not saying that I'm a comedian or a musician necessarily, but I do struggle with that because all I want to do is talk about what people think about the politics of the world or people's choices about human rights or how do we solve this particular world problem or even more just about what are your feelings? What are you feeling today? Like, what is the terrible thing that's happened to you? Tell me about it so I can learn. And
you're a grief vampire.
I am. I must be. No, I just want to understand people. I find people fascinating what they really think and feel. And often people are having all of these sort of conversations that are more about brands of dishwashers or like –
no, which is also fine also obviously, but yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah, and I feel the same about like footy guys, I guess is probably the equivalent for me, that kind of like footy and sport and like, could you see whatever? And I'm like, no, I didn't, you know.
Yeah. And then what do you do about that? I know. And that's the thing though, like that I always go back to, which is what you always say, is that everyone's a nerd about something.
Everyone's a nerd about something.
And if it's sport or if it's dishwashers or whatever it is, it's totally fine. I know. I sometimes struggle with having surface conversations with people when all I really want to talk about is, you know, what's really happening, where's the world going? And sometimes, and fair enough too, people don't want to talk about that stuff.
No, why would you a lot of the time? Because it's depressing.
I know, but I really like it and I do struggle
and
with that.
And sometimes it's just fun to shoot the shit about nonsense stuff, which is what my podcast is, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I know. I would sometimes just, it would be great if I could just do that. That would be fun.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't work that way.
And it never will.
Never will. No, it never will. Okay, here's a question for you.
Okay.
What has been your favorite age?
To be?
Yeah.
It's always kind of been generally the age that I am, except the times when I wasn't sure what I was doing or not enjoying what I was doing. And I was like, oh man, 2 years ago when I was at uni and didn't have to make a decision about what job I was going to try and get or whatever, then it was like, oh man, I wish I was through this. But generally it's the age that I am. Like right now it's now. I feel good about myself for now. And you know, but so,
till it all comes crashing
down. Yeah.
You know, it's touch wood.
What about you? What's your age?
Now. Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that. Maybe before I lost my teeth.
Sure. Yeah.
32.
I have said that before. Yeah. Well, that was because we're coming up in a year since that happened.
Yeah.
But I've always said that I would never reverse time if I had the opportunity because it would screw up everything and space time continuum or whatever
it's
in
a
it.
Butterfly effect.
It absolutely is. But the only thing I would change was you falling on your face. Yeah. Everything else I would keep except for that particular. Because I just feel it's just a senseless, really violent thing that happened to you for no reason and it shouldn't have happened. Yeah.
It was really, it was really violent.
So I remember like the events leading up, which was basically you were going to go for a run and it was dusk and you were like, should I go to the gym? And you were like, we'll go for a run. And I was like, well, if you go for a run, then it'll be quicker. So I'm like, shit, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said, just go to the gym, you know, and.
But that's not your fault. It's technically
just a whole lot of, it's a series of things that were perfectly aligned for that exact thing to happen and that exact time. Yeah,
I know. It's funny though, at the time I remember just screaming about how I didn't want to learn anything from it at all. I remember just I was saying that on repeat because I was terrified. But I've learned so much from it.
Right.
Like so much. And it still makes me feel a bit nauseous sometimes, the whole thing. And I still relive the moment of impact in my head.
Yeah.
Which is full on. But I've learnt probably more from that than a lot of things. And I've been through a few things. I think one of the things that you learn as you get older, and I guess maybe this is even more so once you really start to, your looks go, James.
It's
fade.
True. Yeah.
Your sweet, sweet hair and actually guys tend to age very well.
Some do.
Yeah, this is true. Some do. And actually some women age very well too. I guess what I'm trying to say is that there must come a point in your life where you let go of some of the vanity that we kind of carry
around.
You have
to, because it sounds shit, you know.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is a generalization, but every old person looks the same.
Yeah, they do.
which is not true, obviously. But yeah, when you see like a 90-year-old.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. You know, and I mean, different people look different depending on how well they've looked after themselves.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Generally, yeah, that's the thing. There's a point where you start to lose that kind of vanity.
Mm.
And some women talk about that even. There's a freedom that comes when they hit their 60s.
Right.
Where they feel they don't no longer feel the pressure from men or from society to have to look feminine.
Yeah, right.
Or
yeah.
pretty anymore. They yeah. can just be free to wear the hair in a practical way that gets off their face and get on with the day.
Yeah.
You know, and not everyone's like that. Obviously, people also love fashion and things, but that's a sort of societal expectation to stay skinny and stay a certain way.
Mm.
Maybe changes a bit. Anyway, what I was trying to say was that with my face and the whole losing my teeth thing, it gave me a real insight into how much things don't matter and how much you can things can go wrong and you can survive. And also what does and doesn't matter. Like, you've been so supportive through all of it and you're worth so much more than what you look like, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But so I've learned so much from it and just even how to bounce back from stuff, which I think is what happens as you get older. You've been through things, so you know that you can survive things.
Yeah. I think it's you've had a series of things happen to you leading up to this, which, and you say were like it kind of each time they kind of chipped away at you, you know, to kind of like your reserves are kind of empty. But I think it's actually been the opposite, that it's kind of given you a resolve to kind of move forward. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely given me the motivation to get over my own hang-ups about creating stuff and just put stuff out anyway, hence why we're recording this podcast on a Monday night.
Very tired.
We're both exhausted.
This is a very low-energy effort.
It is so low-energy. I'm so sorry. But I've promised myself that I will do this every week. And a year ago, I was very existential about this podcast.
Well, you've done 50 episodes.
Next weekend, yeah.
And it's... But you've been doing this for 2 years, is that right?
No, a year and a half.
Year and a half, yeah. But most of them have been the last, what is it, like this 40 year. Weeks or whatever,
yeah,
would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's really shifted because of things that I've been through, I think, but also...
And having Chanel as well to be like, oi, we're doing recording this week.
Yeah, get your ass over here and let's get recording and doing things.
Mm.
Yeah, that's been part of it. But I had to go through some of that stuff to just realize that either I'm going to do this or not. I won't be here forever. I don't have infinite time.
No.
So get moving with it. Yeah. What was the kind of catalyst for you, do you think, that's restarted you starting to write and draw? I know we've talked a bit about this before.
We probably have. Yeah, I'm sure we have on one of the previous episodes. But it was teaching, definitely, because I did a business degree and I didn't understand when I was there why everybody was into it. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Like, this is so boring. Like, none of this is like just, and it's all nonsense, you know what I mean? And what I do now is nonsense, but you know, it's still all made up stuff. I just remember sitting in lectures being like, what am I doing here? And look, I've still got friends who did, you know, I did that with, who I still see, you know, and they're all kind of in those fields generally, you know, and most of them are pretty happy with it. But for me, I was just, I couldn't comprehend why anybody would want to do this, like would consciously choose. Because for me, it was, well, I have to do this because I can't do anything else. I could barely do this. But then when I switched over to teaching, because we were doing kids camps for St. Vinny's. So every holidays I'd go and do one of these camps for a week or whatever and just hang out with kids and do activities and like flying fox and craft and whatever. And I thought, this is way better. So then I moved over to teaching and that's when I just started drawing and writing and more and things like that. And then it was like another 6 years before I did anything else with it. But yeah, that was definitely a moment of, And I was good at it. I was like, oh, I'm good at this. I barely even have to try. I'm just good at it, which was a big relief because I just read an economics book and just go, this may as well be in fucking Spanish. Like, I don't get any of this shit. And it's not even I don't get it. I don't want to get it. Like, I'm actively kind of working against it. Yeah. What about you? Well, you never seem to have lost it because as far as I've known you, you've always been doing music or writing or something like that. You did crochet at one point or you pour it into your teaching lessons and, you know, you've always seen or doing like gigging and things like that. So
badly though.
Yeah, but you're always doing something, I feel.
Yeah, I guess so. Musical theatre, amateur community.
I love musical, like amateur musical theatre. Like I like making fun of it as much as I enjoy it. Just enjoy it. But yeah.
Terrible shows. You know what it is, and I think you might have this too. I have to.
Yeah.
And I don't have any idea why.
Yeah.
But I've never been happier when my full-time job is figuring out how to do things like creatively or otherwise, you know, and all the aspects of the business that aren't actually me writing and creating stuff is still me creating stuff because no one else does this business the way that I've decided I can do it. So it feels creative.
I think you're good at stripping away a lot of the stuff from the business that we don't need. Because I think a lot of people who do this, or like a lot of big companies, they bring in a whole lot of people and they hire out an office space and you know what I mean? And this is the social media person and this is the whatever. And we have those things, but they're kind of spread out across the world.
Mm.
Yeah, you can pick and choose people from everywhere. You don't need to have everybody in the same city to do it. Yeah. I think you've been really good at kind of working that side of things and yeah.
Oh, thanks, mate. Well, it just happens to be
also
that
keeps costs down as well.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But also it's more just a no brainer because there are people like Royal Collins.
Yeah, exactly. Who edits this.
Yeah, who edits this and is just...
He's going to make us sound so enthused.
Right,
I feel like he's going to...
man. I feel like he can change our entire voices and conversations to be much better than it is at the current time. Yeah, but no, I definitely have always been writing and creating stuff, but I also never finished anything other than like if... That was why I did like, say, musical theatre because you have to turn up. And you have to, and even then, I quit a couple of halfway through.
Mm.
I quit cabaret halfway through.
Cabaret's shit, though.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. I've never seen it.
It's actually really an amazing musical. I just quit. I can't even remember why now, but I did.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing. I can start lots of things, but never actually finish them.
Mm.
And so the difference with this network and now this podcast is that I somehow, in making it, I have somehow broken my curse of not finishing things.
Yeah. But I also had a string of things that I kind of gave a shot at leading up as well.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That you've got to keep failing until you get to the thing that works. And I like this is something that I've sort of learnt because I was a person at the beginning who thought more about the end result than the process of it.
Right.
So I was always like, well, I'm not going to do this unless I get to be on the stage and perform for people because that's really fun and that's an end result.
Yeah.
Or wouldn't it be great to be a writer and then you imagine yourself with a book?
Yeah.
You know, like signing books and...
Yeah.
Or like that's what the front cover would look like or, you know, or you imagine, I don't know, anything. Like even like if I decided to start cooking or something, I would... You would be sort of thinking more of the end product than the process of it. You know, I want to end up with this cake rather than will I enjoy while I'm doing
That's like insurmountable though, I feel, when you're doing stuff like that. Yeah, or can be.
What do you mean insurmountable?
To have that end goal of be like, and then I'll be signing books. I think you got to look at it. Well, how do you start writing a book? You know, do you map out, I don't know how to write a book, but do you outline your ideas? You know what I mean? First, do you handwrite it first and then maybe you transfer it over and then you do another draft and you send it off to publishers and get friends to read it or whatever and network and start a blog and, you know, it's a series of things that you'd kind of have to do to get there.
Yeah, completely. But, and I think that there's something in
breaking it down to small.
Yeah,
goals, is what I'm
but
saying,
also not worrying about whether or not you ever actually get a book.
Mm.
Like that is, for me, that is what, for my learning from this podcast anyway and about making stuff has been that actually it's not about the end product necessarily.
No.
Or not even, maybe it's about the end product in a small sense, like a podcast episode or a video for YouTube.
Yeah.
But you can't start something imagining like this kind of airy-fairy stuff. You've got to focus on the process and the take each segment of it for what it's worth.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you never end up with that book, but you've written a whole lot of stuff because you need to, because you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Then that is still great.
I think it's also great because that gives you skills for other things that you might not even realize that you've got. Mm. I think a good example is you doing this podcast from the start. A lot of you, a lot of what you struggled with was editing and how to get the sound levels right. And is this interesting enough? And, you know, and all those kind of things. And I think you've worked all through that and you know now what makes a good podcast. And from there that you started the Millennial Divide, which you're not in, but you're always in the room and you and we're like, right, you need to tighten it up here and you need, you know, you need a series of topics and whatever. And that's such a great show. And I think it wouldn't have been as good. I mean, they're great regardless, those three.
Yeah,
but I don't think it would have been. Even things like getting a logo, you know, like getting a great logo for it, you know, I think that was, you'd done all that before. Like you'd cut your teeth on this to do that. And when you try something, the skills, they might not transfer one to one because, you know, because this is a pod, I'm talking about a podcast and then starting a different podcast, but those skills of even being able to break something down to its core components and how to get something made, I think that is valuable. Because I think for me, one of the most valuable things that I learned was working at McDonald's and like time management, which sounds ridiculous. I could make a burger in my sleep. Like if you put McDonald's ingredients in front of me right now, I haven't worked there for 15 years. I could still do it. But it was managing time and things like that and working fast and quick and, you know, and efficiently and things like that. And at the time, I'm like, this is the most pointless thing I'll ever do. But it didn't end up being that at all. I think it actually helped me quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, because nothing you ever do is wasted, really, in terms of all your experiences anyway.
Yeah.
Are wasted because you just don't know when they pop up later on.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one of the joys of getting older, right?
Sure.
I feel like you don't like getting older.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I definitely kind of push back against it. But I'd kind of refuse to be like a sad old dad. Like I don't want to be just a. And I'm not saying I want to be a cool young dad and I'm riding a motorbike and whatever. I just don't want to be a really depressed dad in the park who can't chase their kid. And, you know, I want to set an example for our son that, you know, to keep, you know, maintain yourself. You know what I mean? Like look after yourself. Work towards something you enjoy, you know? Because I think it's valuable not just for me, it's for
everybody.
It's for him to see it as well, I hope. Or he'll be like, shut up, Dad.
He probably will say that.
He probably will be like that. He's anything like me, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. No, I'm not looking forward to that teenage years of him. But
what do you think is one of the hardest things about getting older, though?
Understanding that your parents won't be around forever.
Yeah, that was going to be, yeah.
Mm. That, to me, that's been one of the hardest things. Yeah, that and the knowledge that life is serious.
Yeah.
It's also not. It's also fun and silly and great, but that maybe once you have a child that changes things a bit too because you understand the responsibility that you have for another person.
Yeah.
But there is this certain magic that happens in your 20s where you don't really understand that how hard life can get. And so you just go hang out on a beach with your friends and have a beer and look at the sunset and laugh. And
yeah. Dad, can I have $40?
Yeah, exactly. Drive me to the cinema, you know, or whatever. You know, so there is that joy that I had in my 20s. I was quite an existential teenager. But my 20s were
really... You had a great 20s, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, and there is that kind of lack of responsibility thing where you start, particularly at uni when you're studying, so you sort of feel like you're working towards something, but it's not that big a deal and it's not that serious yet.
Especially if you don't take it seriously.
Well, yeah, to be fair, exactly.
Which some people do.
Some people, and that's the thing, everyone's experience is different to this, but that was my experience that life had less weight to it because I hadn't fully comprehended, A, that people I love will eventually not be here, and B, things can happen to you that are out of your control that are devastating.
Yes.
Yeah. And also you've got to be able to look after yourself and, you know, all of those layers of responsibility that come along with getting older. So, yeah, what about you?
That's definitely like when now, like if my parents call, it's not like a conscious decision, but part of me is like, what if I miss this phone call and then one of them has a heart attack, you know what I mean? And then I always think, shit, I screen that call, you know what I mean? So I never do that. Unless I'm, you know, it's impossible to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think I'd just be a bit lost, you know, without my parents even now. You know what I mean? Because my dad is quite handy and my mum's very useful also.
They're both great. Yeah.
And I also know it's coming, you know? I mean, maybe I'll die first. Maybe I'll get lucky.
Don't you dare. No.
But yeah, just knowing it's coming, you know what I mean? It's
Yeah, it's hard. I guess because I lost my dad.
Yeah, exactly. And seeing that with you
a couple of years ago. Yeah.
And even though your dad was sick, yeah, it still wasn't easier at all, you know?
No.
Yeah.
And it's just a shock. I think, like I was saying, it's that when you get older, the sort of gravity of things or the finality of death and grief is something that you don't understand until it happens to you. Like you can cerebrally kind of process it on a level where you're like, I know this is a thing that can happen and will happen to everybody, but you don't really understand it until you come close to seeing someone you know or you love.
Definitely. And I don't think I've experienced it like you have. And I think it's really going to hit me when I do. Mm. So that'll be good.
Great. And on that note, sweet dreams, everybody.
But I'm hoping when it does happen that I don't look back and go, I fucked that up. You know what I mean?
And I guess that's the other flip side of all this, right? That at the end of the day, the knowledge that
it would be easier if I didn't like it. That'd be way easier.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the end of the day, the knowledge that things aren't forever actually means that you are more conscious.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so on a practical level, before we finish, what are the things that you are legitimately doing to prevent the ravages of time?
I have a pretty decent skin regime, courtesy of you,
okay.
Of your products, the go-to, whatever they're called.
Yes,
no sponsor.
You're exfoliant.
I do. I try a bit of that. I don't know if it makes that much of a difference, but it makes me feel like it.
You
like,
look very shiny.
Thank you. I do. I'm very shiny. I have a shampoo which darkens my hair slightly, which I'm thinking of giving up again because I'm going to start looking ridiculous more so. Fitness is a big thing. I go to the gym 6 days a week, which is quite a lot.
It's a lot.
It's quite a lot.
I don't go that much.
Yeah, but that's definitely made a big difference and I kind of hate it, but I genuinely feel better from it. Yeah, I don't think I've been fitter ever.
No, you're very
maybe
fit.
Maybe since I was like 16 when you just accidentally fit for no reason. Yeah, because I think because in my 20s and that, you know, when you're drinking, I didn't even realize that it's so damaging and, you know, to you and yeah.
Mentally and physically and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
It totally is.
Even now, like I'll drink now and I wake up and I feel like I've aged like a lot.
Yeah, it's
and you
not
kind of
good.
You do recover, but it's a slower. And definitely eating. I've changed my eating quite a bit recently of less bread, less sugar, cut out a lot of dairy and things like that. Mm. So all boring things.
Yeah, but it's practical stuff, right? Like I think it sounds easy.
And I don't hate it either. I don't resent doing it. I like doing it. Mm. I like feeling better.
Yeah.
What about you though? What are you doing to prevent the ravages of time bearing down on you?
But I have better genetics.
A giant ticking clock that one day will tip onto you and crush
Lord.
You.
The same as you, I don't do as much exercise as you, which is a crazy statement to say because I was always the one that was exercising.
You were the motivated, exercisey one.
I know.
But you still do. Like, I think you just do slightly less than me.
Yeah, I do. But I do less, but I also do that for injury reasons and stuff as well.
Yeah, that's right.
That's part of it.
And also because we wake up at different times often, so
yeah,
one
totally.
Of us has to sacrifice themselves. And it's usually you, which is not really fair.
No, that's not always true. But anyway, because you're up to like 3 o'clock in the morning. So anyway, different things. So that's part of it. Moisturize and sunscreen. I try and always be very sun safe.
Mm.
That's one big thing. So sunscreen and moisturize and exfoliate and all that kind of thing. Get my dentures replaced with real teeth.
Like an old woman.
Yeah, exactly. I actually think that, like, also trying to eat well and all of that stuff. But for me, the biggest thing that's changed this year is stress.
Right.
Because I think if you're really stressed, there's nothing worse for you.
Yes.
Like, honestly.
It's a killer, they say.
Like, legit, I know you're looking at me and you're like, because I'm always stressed.
No, it's, I agree with you. Oh, do you think, I look at you thinking that.
No, look at yourself and think you're stressed.
Like, no, I'm not. I don't think I'm that.
No, because I think stress causes more illness and probably premature aging than anything, even eating poorly. Because you're just, your body's always in this fight or flight mode. And I had like adrenaline course. And when I was teaching, my stress levels were so high.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I just
can't. Also, what you had, because you had a couple of bad years of classes.
Oh, no, they were great. Not bad, it wasn't the kids. It was just, it was circumstances. And yeah. Yeah, I mean, just teaching in general is really stressful, I think.
Yeah.
For me anyway, it really was, towards the end particularly. And so that, I think, I've been actively trying to be kind to myself and do things that, like, drink a lot of water, but just take things a bit more slowly and not. I think that was another reason why I fell on my face.
Yeah.
Because I was too stressed. I was taking on too much.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good for my health or the people around me either. But I also think that that was causing me to age. And that's why now I have no wrinkles, James.
That's true. You've got very few wrinkles.
I'm so fresh faced.
I understand it.
Yeah. Be kind to yourself and breathe.
Yeah, because whenever you're like, I feel like I don't do enough, and I always think like, what are you talking about? You did more than anybody I know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
You don't see me. I do a lot of couch lying.
I don't know that many people anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We don't know anyone much. We stay at home a lot. Anyway, I think we might finish because I'm about to go to bed.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
This is long enough, right?
I think so. Oh, God.
You happy?
I'm sorry, Claire? Collings. Poor Collings. He's going to have to try and edit this together into something comprehensive and cohesive.
If anyone can do it.
That guy can.
That's right.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Go make the thing.
Don't you have to like plug social media or something?
No, I do that after.
You don't do that?
I do it after.
Okay. No, I mean like do you want me to do it?
No, I have a whole system.
I know you don't.
Oh, bloody hell. He's trying to tell me how to podcast. It's like he's a very accomplished podcaster or something.
I certainly am.
You're the friggin' worst.
Thanks.
No, you're not. You're great.
Oh.
You're welcome.
You turned it around.
You've been listening to a podcast called Just Make the Thing with me, Claire Tonti, and with the wonderful, very talented Mr. Sunday Movies himself, James Clement. For more from me, you can go to @ClaireTonti on Instagram or @MrSundayMovies on Twitter, and you can email this show. We would love to hear from you at justmakethethingpod@gmail.com. If you could do us a favor, we'd love you to rate, review, and subscribe to us in iTunes. And for more podcasts just like this one, all Australian made, you can go to planetbroadcasting.com. Also, head over to James's YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday Movies, as well, if you're into lots of funny things and comic books and movies and such. It's excellent. I can highly recommend it. Okay, that's the show for this week. Oh, one other thing. Thank you to everybody who donated for our Care Australia charity campaign. We hit $41,000 this week. So we went over our goal by over $1,000. So the amount of people who supported that campaign, but also the contributions they've made that have really made a massive difference to women and girls living in extreme poverty all over the world is just fantastic. So thanks again. There is still time to donate. There's a link in the show notes below. And you can get some bonus content from the Weekly Planet Boys, as well as Tofop and Do Go On. So, yeah, up to you. But thanks again. Thanks for supporting the show. And go make the thing. Okay, bye.
Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.